gorgeous, darling, but is it art?
Jennifer Mason is a Tamaki-based oil painter with a practice centered around Mason's passion for painting the figure, a subject typically known as the nerd. Her current exhibition, The Boundary of the Intelligible, delves into new modes of exploration for the artist. In earlier works, Mason typically focused solely on the figure, resembling elements of portraiture with references taken from posed models. But within this new body of work, Mason has shifted her point of reference and has turned directly to the history of Western art and its iconic figures. Recontextualizing these figures from art history and pulling them into her own paintings filled with vibrant prismatic fields of colors where bodies ascend, weightless and untethered, removed from their past moments and brought into a world of tranquility with renewed vitality separated from space and time. I had a chat with Jennifer about the show and overall practice. Could you start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice a little bit?
Kia ora, I am Jennifer Mason. I was born and raised and live and work in Tamaki Makaurau. I am a traditional classical oil painter who works on canvas.
And is there a kind of underlying theme or investigation that seems to propel your practice?
Yes, I would say, rather than theme, I would say subject. And for me, my subject is what we would say in art history is the nude, which is more of a description. It would just be as to, you know, up to right now, I've painted exclusively the female form without clothes on, which we would call the nude in art history. And that certainly does propel me as a subject. And when you say the word propel, I would probably use the word drive. Like, I have an overwhelming drive in my life to paint that subject, and it's been there for a long time, and I just feel always compelled to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Yeah, so that is my drive.
And your current show, The Boundary of the Intelligible, presents a body of beautiful ethereal paintings. These paintings depict figures amongst vibrant prismatic fields of colour. You've already kind of briefly started talking about this, but I would like to start this conversation around this body of work by speaking to the figures themselves. What gravitates you towards the subject of the figure? Like, what kind of gave you this drive to paint these nudes, these figures?
Yeah, it's really hard to say where that seed came from. I guess you would just have to assume that it's nurture over nature. I guess, like, just roughly, as I grew up, I did ballet from age 4 to 16, 6 days a week. So maybe that was a visual thing that I was taking in on almost a daily basis, that sort of feminine, the feminine form. So maybe it was just from looking at that a lot. Also, another factor would be that my mother was very, very Catholic. And so in the Catholic faith, there is a very rich culture of paintings. And we didn't really have much art in the home, but what we did have is once a year we would get this Catholic calendar and it would, you know, like one of those sort of things you'd hang on the wall, a paper one, and you flip over the pages and there would be like a Renaissance painting. And I got that because I liked art and pictures, and my mother would give me that. So that would go on my wall, and each, you know, month would flip by, and I would really love those and I would copy them. And so that would, you know, and then you'd be in church and you'd see paintings in church. And so that was probably an influence as well. And then when the other thing that started it was that after high school, I went to become a nurse and did a nursing degree. And I loved the academic side, like the anatomy and I am not a nurse. That was a disaster career if there ever has been one. But certainly the theoretical part of it and the anatomy, so maybe that was it. But I remember going to a show called Angels and Aristocrats, and I must have been in my early 20s at the Auckland City Art Gallery. It was by Mary Kisler, and I went with my brother and mother, and they were just viewing that exhibition, you know, with mild interest, I suppose. And I remember I was running around.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I was just like, I love this. This is so exciting. I love these paintings, you know, like, it was, I guess you'd say a bit of an epiphany of just like, I just love these paintings. And, you know, I had that thing in my head where it was like, I mean, I was happy to look, but there was something inside of me that said, I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do that. Since then, I didn't do art at high school, but I was, you know, copying classical paintings in my bedroom.
Oh, wow. So you were always kind of mulling away at
just
them.
Just doing them pretty poorly, yeah. And it's just something that's stuck with me, and now I can't sort of stop, and it's an obsession now, yeah.
And in earlier works, your depiction of the figure came from professional models and acquaintances, but within this body of work, you have shifted your focus to the rich history of the Western art canon and its iconic figures. What influenced this shift in reference for you?
I think when it comes to my practice, what I have is a vision of the painting I would like to paint. And it's sort of, I haven't got it as a picture in my mind as such, but I kind of know what I want to do. And I have spent my whole life trying to make that painting. So as I've gone along trying to reach that vision, I encounter problems along the way, and then I try and fix that problem.
Mm.
But I'm always going in a trajectory along trying to achieve my vision. And so when I saw those paintings in the art gallery, I thought, oh, okay, well, what did they do? They hired a model and they posed the model and they painted the model. So I thought, that's what I'll do and I'll achieve the same results.
Yeah.
And what I discovered, and this is the biggest blind spot I've had as an artist, and it blows my mind that I have missed this. So what happened is that I was, first of all, just asking females that I knew, I guess you'd say acquaintances, to come in, and I would take a photo shoot, and then I would do the paintings. And then what I noticed, other people would come and look at the works, and what would happen is they would nitpick the subject. They'd find something on, like, about the body or the face or the something else about them, and they would say, the first thing that they would say is that thing about, and I just thought, that's not my vision.
Mm.
So there was that aspect, and there was also another aspect where people would sometimes say things, and it's amazing how it never really sunk in for me, but they would say things like, oh, you're painting naked ladies. And I would just think, what on earth is wrong? I just would think, what's wrong with you? I hired a studio out at Corbin's Art Centre in West Auckland, and we had these open days, and it was open to the general public. So this lady came into the studio and she was looking around my work, and she said, oh, I really love these paintings. I love these.
Mm.
And then she said, my husband would hate these. And I thought, okay, this is good. I said, why is that? And she said, because they're naked, he associates it with sex and he's funny about sex.
Mm.
And it was just this penny drop moment where, oh, I had been painting figures from art history in my mind, and other people were coming and looking at my paintings, A, as a portrait, and B, as a naked lady, and bringing all their junk into my paintings.
Mm.
And it was just, like, I couldn't believe I'd been doing it for so long and not realised that that's what people were seeing. And because I had never, I mean, when I walked around that art gallery and saw those paintings, I didn't really see naked people, you know, I didn't see naked people, and I wasn't thinking about them in a sexual context. So that blew my mind, and so I thought, that's a problem. And I thought, how can I take that component out while still painting the figure, which is what I want to do? And so what I did is, the first thing I tried to do was I posed the model in a way where I thought I could disguise her while still having her there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So things like, one pose I got really stuck on is a prone pose, which is her lying down, face down, you shoot from the side so you're not, you know, it's not frontal, and then I would get her to place her arm over her face, which takes away the portraiture element.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, people would still see that thing that I had a problem with, and that wasn't what I was trying to do. You know, I'm not It's not like a Lucian Freud work where it's a portrait of someone and he's really showing flesh and he's really showing a naked body. I was trying, my vision was something quite different. And so I thought, how can I get a body where it takes away from that completely? And that's where I just had that idea of, can I just pull these figures out of this art historical context and use them and find a way to make them mine, to detach my figures from any of that stuff, any of that misreading that people were picking up on. And that's what made me say, well, let's try it. Let's pull some of these figures out and work with them and see if I still get that same reading coming in or if I can work closer to my vision, which I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah, and how do you think it has shifted your work?
Well, it's early days. I mean, this is just a recent development. I mean, I'm always, you know, like with the when I tried the different pose and I tried to, that didn't work. People were still having that same reading. So just, it has been quite recent, but I mean, you're always hopeful when you think you've solved a problem. But I think when you do pull them out of art history, a lot of that stuff drains out. So I'm hoping this can be a way for me to still paint the figure without those problems arising. What my vision is that I want a body, I want to paint the figure, but I want it to be, number one, weightless. So if you think of a William Bouguereau painting where those female bodies and the little Cupid angels are just flying off, or Christ ascending, where people are just floating off into the atmosphere like gravity suddenly disappeared. I want that's something I would like. And I also would like, I still want to see the beautiful form around limbs and have that done well, but I want my edges to be so soft and the atoms at the edge of the body to be, as they're lifting off and lifting away, I want those atoms to just be drifting off either into water or to the air, to just become like a human body is quite a heavy thing. I want to take all that away and I want it to be weightless and like it could just puff off into smoke. Yeah, so that's the goal.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Oh, beautiful. And within this new body of work, you have also shifted your composition. Rather than solely focusing in on the figure, you have almost stretched out the composition and allowed more space for that feel to enter into the work. Could you speak a bit to this decision of these vibrant prismatic fields of colour that you've introduced to your work?
Sure. Well, when I saw those paintings in the gallery, I thought, you know, I never ever considered that I had any talent or skill out of, you know, everyone. I just thought that I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. And I just thought, I'm going to have a crack at it. I'm going to do the 10,000 hours, you know, that they say it takes to become good at something.
Wow, yeah.
And I am just going to sit down and keep going over and over and over until I can paint, you know, a face and a body that I could, you know, I really feel like could come alive off the page. And so that took me a long time. And I ignored the backgrounds. I ignored the edges of the painting. And I just kept going on the figure over and over and over. And then I did reach that point where I was like, that's really realistic. That's realistic. We've achieved realism.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah, you did it. They're so beautiful rendered. Yeah.
Thank you. And but then, of course, once I got to that point, it's like, all right, well, I've ignored my edges. I've ignored my backgrounds. We need to go back to stage one and play some catch up here. And as I explained to you that I wanted these figures to be weightless, lifting off without gravity, I just thought the background is a great way. I mean, obviously the pose of the individual, but the background has to be as light and as airy as I want that figure to be. So one of the biggest things that has happened to me recently is that I started working wet into wet as a painter. And prior to that, I was terrified of my inability to be able to paint. And I would work from the top left-hand corner and I would work down towards the bottom right-hand corner, sort of across and down, millimetre by millimetre. And once I reached the bottom, I would let it dry and then I would go over, I'd do seven coats over like that. So yeah. And then I'd let it dry and then I'd go over and working, you know, eventually working to a glaze finish.
Yeah, it's a very meticulous, detailed.
Precisely, yeah. And but that gets you a hard edge. I had a very hard edge. It was like a sticker. You could peel that thing off off the board. So when you work wet into wet, you've got your background wet, you've got your figure wet, and it's a race against time. That paint's drying, and boom, my edges were blurry. I mean, I could spend 4 hours getting the edge of a face and the edge of an arm and a bit of a background, and then I can get my blendy brush, and I can just sweep over it, you know, and get rid of a lot of the sharpness. And suddenly my edges were just so soft and light and delicate.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but it takes a lot of guts to go wet into wet. Yeah. You know, you have to be confident that you can render something up. You have to make sure you've got that time.
Yeah, there's a lot more. There's a lot more like fluidity in the paint, and a lot of more elements for things. You don't have as much control.
Zero control. And you need to be confident of your ability. And I hadn't had that confidence up to that point. Yeah.
I see. And you've spoken about this art history and your time in that gallery when you saw these works. Now with this new kind of process of working wet into wet in these beautiful coloured fields, how do these fields aid in this recontextualization of these figures from art history?
That's a great question, yeah. Well, I just thought it would be so great to be, I mean, I have a whole library of, I go through art history, I pull out all these images, I'm building up this library, I use Photoshop quite a bit, I move all the different figures around completely out of their context, and then I think about light coming in, and I really am thinking about, so you have a big bunch of colour down the bottom, and there's a figure just above it, sort of, and you know, like she's aware of that colour, and you can just sweep around with brushes, and next thing you know, it's almost like the canvas is pulling her around. And another aspect in terms of colour, I mean, I've just started backgrounds, I've really just started colour. I'm stage one. I've got a lot of catching up to do. But I did find that because I had, up to this point, I had been painting all my nude skin colour and I had that down to a very fine art. And I went out to the shop and bought a bunch of colour. And I just thought, if you make a figure blue, you do take a lot of that nudity out of that form. There's something about the colour of skin. People find that quite evocative. So I have started painting my figures, you know, like we start in a cerulean blue and we move up and we change around to greens. And so the colours in the backgrounds have blended over into the form.
Mm.
Yeah, and I also am pretty influenced by the Impressionists. There was a show, a Monet show, came to Auckland. I think it was about 1986. And I went with my grandfather and mother, and at the time I really didn't see what the big deal was. But since then, I've just become the biggest Monet fan in terms of colour.
Yeah.
And, I'm buying those old catalogues off, or, you know, the books off Trade Me. I'm pulling out the pages, sticking them around, trying to think about the way he used colour, and can I bring his colour theory into my figures to bring all that light, what he would do with light into the figures, just to pull away from, you know, the idea of nudity or nakedness more and more.
Yeah. And lastly, what are your hopes for viewers as they enter into the space of your show and engage with your work?
Sure. Well, a little bit like how we were talking earlier, that I hope that if it's maybe someone that knows my practice, that I would hope that they could see what I'm doing. They'd be like, oh, okay, she's solved that problem. She's moving towards this. Like, I hope that it makes sense to people, that they can see, oh, she's going there. That's the direction that she's trying hard to push towards. That's what she's trying to achieve. That it wouldn't just seem like a bunch of random stuff. Because I'm certainly never painting the same thing more than once. I'm always trying to push the practice. But in terms of if someone was coming in and they didn't know me and they were coming in fresh, I think in your email you used the word ethereal. I do love it when people use that, because that's spot on. I really like paintings of fairies. I love things that are very light and delicate and soft and calm, and I want people to feel very at ease. I don't want them to feel shocked. I want beauty to come out of them and just to feel calm, I guess. Yeah, that would be my hope, that people would just, they wouldn't feel any stress and it would just feel light and airy.
That was Jennifer Mason speaking to me about her current show, The Boundary of the Intelligible, which is on at Depot Art Space until the 13th of September.